It's a pleasure to welcome back Michael Pinto of Pinto Portfolio Strategies, being gracious enough to give us a weekend interview because your guest has jury duty this week. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks for having me back on, Chris.
Yeah, it's a pleasure
to be with you.
A lot going on in the markets. People noticed that China and our POTUS still can't come to terms. We still have this trade war issue. There's concerns about the, I want to say, $200 billion hitting China, 15% bump up in the tariffs there, but 15% increase from current tariff rates.
Here's my visceral response. I don't like trade wars. Trade wars are very bad. Tariffs are very bad. But the reason why a trade war is bad and the reason why tariffs are bad is because it curtails global trade. That's the reason why you would fear a trade war, because it brings down global trade. That's not at all what has happened. As a matter of fact, let me go out on a limb here and tell you, Chris, that this trade war has actually boosted GDP globally temporarily because of the front running of Trump's trade war. So remember, he put a 10% tariff on a few $100 billion of goods that was supposed to go to 25% on January 1st. And then it was supposed to go to 25% on March 1st. So what happened was you had a tremendous amount of front running of the trade war, the escalation of the trade war. And U.S. exports to China rose by 0.7% throughout 2018 for the year. And China's exports to the U.S. surged by 11%. So the Wall Street obsession over a trade war, I think, is ridiculous. Yes, if the trade tariffs went up to 25% and they stayed on for multiple quarters, that would depress trade and hence global GDP. But as of right now, the trade war is a red herring. It has actually helped global GDP. I'm just saying, right, the way this tariff was constructed, the way the trade war has emerged, it was one that engendered front running of an additional 15 percentage points of tariffs. So trade actually was increased in 2018. But here's what I don't understand. Let's talk about something that's even more important. What hurt the stock market in 2018 was not the trade war. It was central banks. And I went on record early last year, saying that the fall of 2018 was going to be a disaster for the economy and for the stock market. And the reason was primarily because of central bankers. You know, you had the Fed raise rates 9 times since 2015 to the end of 2018. You had them destroy $500 billion worth of credit from their balance sheet. And that's not even the worst part of it, Chris. If you understand the mechanics of how this debt is destroyed, you know, a central bank, a Federal Reserve in particular, owned an asset, a mortgage-backed security or a treasury bond. And guess what? The treasury didn't have to float that bond to the public. They didn't even have to pay interest on that debt. That interest is credited back to the treasury at the end of the year. But now the treasury is asked, once a bond matures from the central bank, hey, I have to now go and float this bond to the public at a public price. And then I have to service this debt. And then the Treasury sends that money to the Fed and the Fed destroys it. It's a very pernicious cycle going from QE to QT. That is what hurt the stock market primarily in 2018. Of course, you also had right on cue, the ECB, the European Central Bank, cut their QE off hard in December. That also concurrently hurt the stock market, globally speaking. And now we see the carnival barkers. I call them shills, permeables, and carnival barkers. All these people are coming on TV saying, don't you know the central banks of the world got your back? Let's go in and buy stocks hand over fist aggressively. But what about the business cycle, Chris? What about the fact that Japan, their growth rate for 2018 was 0.7%? Do you know what Germany's growth rate for Q4 was? 0.0%, Chris. Italy is in an official recession. Earnings growth for Q1 in the United States is going to be negative year over year, according to FactSet. Negative. not just the second derivative isn't going from 20% to 10%. It's going below zero. There's no earnings growth in Q1. GDP print in Q4 and in Q1 is lucky to be growing at all. Q4 might be 1% and change, and Q1 2019 might be zero. So Wall Street is telling you, telling investors, hey, don't worry about anything. And the reason why you don't have to worry is because central banks have turned dovish. And I will say that they are leaning towards becoming dovish. But let's get this perfectly clear. The ECB ended QE in December. They are not back in QE yet. The Federal Reserve, they raised rates in December for the ninth time. And they are still in the process of destroying billions of dollars a month through that process I just described as quantitative tightening. And here's another thing I want to mention. It's one thing to say in 2009, Chris, hey, the central banks have turned dovish. They got your back. They are now going to lower interest rates. The Fed took interest rates from 5.25 to zero. And that kind of operation of lowering interest rates by hundreds of basis points was replete throughout the world. Let me ask you this. Can the ECB take away any debt service pain from the European consumer? They're at zero. Actually, they're at a negative discount rate right now. How about Japan? Japan is at a negative overnight lending rate. They have never ended QE. And even the Federal Reserve has 225, 250 basis points that they can remove of accommodation. So central bankers cannot, on a dime, turn this economy around that I just sort of proved to you is headed towards a recession, and they haven't even begun to try to go back into QE.
So starting with your Carnival Barker scenario, let's talk about P.T. Barnum, Jim Cramer. He's telling everybody, I love gold, buy gold. This thing's heading to 1,500. You know, let's just at least give him a little recognition for being someone who may be a Barker, but he's right.
Well, here's the thing that I think you guys should really, guys and gals out there at Gold Teeth Radio should understand. It's profound, I'm going to tell you. This is the truth. The central bankers around the world entered into a zero interest rate policy for about a decade. It was around a decade. 2008, we started QE here in the United States. I believe it was 2014 where it ended, but we had a 0%, virtual 0% policy here all the way to the end of 2015. The European Central Bank went on a maniacal money printing spree, and they're at 0%, actually below zero. Japan is the same condition. And altogether, central banks printed around $15 trillion of counterfeit confetti to push up asset prices. So this is going on now, Chris, for about a decade. You know, as I said, these central banks really didn't get far off zero. And then not too long ago, for a brief period of time, very truncated period of time, especially in terms of the ECB, they only tried it for like, you know, a month. You know, the ECB ended QE in December. They're already talking about maybe going back into QE. But the Fed was able to sort of for like a year, maybe a year and a half, start to get serious about raising interest rates. They took it to 2.5, the Fed funds rate. And as I said, they drained about $500 billion from the balance sheet. And then after a decade of this incredible and unprecedented banana republic style of manipulation of the money markets, for one quarter of a year, so pretty much from October to the end of the year, central bankers all caved. Okay? Their artificial world came crashing down. And I will tell you this. Why do you think they caved? Here's the truth. It wasn't because the non-farm payroll reports in the United States came in negative. You know, the Fed has a dual mandate of full employment and stable prices. Oh, they say stable prices, but now that means 2% inflation, you know. But it wasn't because people were getting laid off left and right. We have a virtual a record low unemployment rate, at least the way the government calculates it and the way the Fed looks at things. 300,000+ non-farm payroll report in January. CPI was just below 2%. So why do you think central banks, in particular the Federal Reserve, changed their mind or at least started to lurch towards being dovish. Not fully dovish yet, but at least going in that direction. Well, I'll tell you why. It's because of what happened in the stock market and the high yield debt market from October till the end of the year. So here's the profound thing I want to tell you. Central banks have become wards of the stock market and of the credit markets. In other words, the middle class is being eviscerated. That trenchant gap between the wealthy, the most wealthy and the poor is going to get much, much wider. The middle class is becoming completely eviscerated and an endangered species list. And that's going to get much worse because central banks now have admitted that they can never get off zero and they can never stop QE. Of course, real terms, you know, you inflation adjust the CPI. The Federal Reserve is technically a little bit above inflation.
And you're assuming so, you believe their numbers, but okay, I'll play along.
That's a bit, Chris, good for you for jumping in there. I mean, I don't really believe their numbers at all, especially if you added a real housing number and a real, if you included asset prices such as stocks in the inflation calculation. But according to their calculation, they were able to get in real. But let me tell you something. You're at 0% all over the world, and you have an inflation target of 2%? I mean, come on. This is what Jim Cramer got something right, Chris. We have been put on notice. And you want to know why gold is going up? We've been put on notice that nominal rates can't get very far off zero, and real rates are going to be profoundly negative for as far as the eye can see, and getting even more so.
You know, that's important, because if you have real rates in the negative column, basic economics says you've got to find shelter in gold.
Probably one of the biggest winners of 2019 so far. The only thing that's sort of saving the gold market from ripping to all-time highs in a matter of months is the relative strength and stickiness of the U.S. dollar because of the disastrous economic reports coming out of Europe primarily. I'm the kind of person that if something doesn't go right, I just work harder. I don't cower back. So I was short the market going into October of last year. Did very, very well. I closed all my shorts out on December 24th. I then reshorted the market in early January. Nice bounce to reshort. So I have been, you know, my longs have been very, I'm long treasuries, short-term treasuries. So I'm long treasuries, I'm long gold, I'm long utilities.
Thank you, Michael Penta.
Thank you, Chris. Take care.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. Goldseek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. OneGold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. OneGold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through OneGold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, OneGold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.